Good morning, everyone. Thank you, leadership, to allow me to just share my heart. And I'll share with you what the Lord has been teaching me. I don't want to bring something that I haven't myself gone through. So this is what I will share. And I've entitled the message as Faith Refined, Endurance Perfected. Faith Refined, Endurance Perfected. And it all comes from the things that you and I go through. And the messages, I mean the songs we've been singing, they're really just bringing out the fact that this God we have received as our Savior and our Lord, He cares. He loves us. He can scale the mountains just to come after us. And the things we go through, we have had quite a number of messages on that. Things we go through, you can name them. They are trials, they are tests, they are temptations, they are just storms that come after you, come after me. They are relentless. They keep coming. There are a number of you right now, you are going through a kind of storm. And it's really just unraveling you and just doing all kinds of things to you. And when you're seated in here, as you sang along, you're saying, this God cares, but what about this storm I'm going through? Why me? Why am I going through this? So in this message, I want to bring a word in season for you if you're going through a storm. And a word in season for myself and for all of us. Because these things, we are told in Scripture, they are not going to stop. They will keep coming. One after another. Different seasons. Maybe it's not your season right now for that storm to come. But one of these days, you might just find yourself in one storm. So the message is just to bring good news to you, to just lighten you up, to say that you can do it, you can go through the storm. And at the end of it, you'll be quite refined by the Lord. So this is the message that I bring. These storms, they come unannounced. They are unwanted. None of us wants them to come. I don't think there's anyone here who prays, storms keep coming. No. They come. They don't have to be invited. It's all kinds of sizes of storms. Their duration is different all the time. Intensity is different. When you talk about size, no matter how small it may be, that is a storm to one of us. It's a storm. Because what they're going through is just breaking their comfort zone. It's just destroying their focus. And it may just be a small word that has been spoken to someone. I would not despise anybody going through that. Because to them, it's a big storm. So the size that comes to you is different from one and the other child of God. But nevertheless, it is a storm. And I want just to bring out something that the Lord is saying. I will give you some 5 observations, and at the end, I will close with things that can help us manage and go through these storms. First, I would like to read a scripture that is not on the slides. It is a very key scripture, and if you have your Bible with you, even on the app, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's not on, it's just the Lord dropped it into my heart after all the slides were done, so I will go through. If you have your app, your Bible, just turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. And verse 13, I think we'll go straight to 13. The Bible says, let me just get that one here. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. That's the first part of that verse. Very critical. It's not strange. You are not the only one going through the kind of thing you are going through. All other saints of God are going through some kind. But listen to the second part of that. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. It's within your ability, God-given ability, to manage and go through victorious. But when you are tempted, as you know, when the Bible uses the word when, not if, means that these things are coming. These things are going to be there. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, the beautiful intent that God has is that, that's the very, very last part. He will also provide a way out. Why? So that you can endure it. God is not going to allow anything come to you to destroy you. He is not going to do that. Never. He would never do that. His intent for every trial, for every test, is that you endure and you become refined. That's his purpose. He's a good God. And the word there in the original language translated in some of these versions as temptation, it also has a connotation of test and trials. So it's like interchangeably that same word in Greek can be used for temptation, can be used for tests and trials. So nothing will come your way that is beyond your ability to go through and go through victorious. So get that from the Lord himself saying that I am not going to bring anything to you that will destroy you. No, if anything destroys me, it's not the Lord to blame. I have to blame myself for letting go of my anchor that we've been singing about. Somehow, somewhere, I missed the mark. And I let myself go. And the enemy has, as the Bible says, is seeking someone he may devour. And he will come after me. But you see, Scripture is full of these great assurances that God, one, he will not bring something strange. It's always something that everybody else somehow has gone through. Maybe not the same thing, but close to that. And then he'll make sure that you're not tempted beyond your strengths, your ability to actually endure it. So if you look at it, he's saying whatever storms that comes your way, you can do it. You can endure. Amen. This is what he's saying. He's not looking at how tall you are, how short you are, whether you're from Zambia or you're from Saskatchewan. He's just saying, you are my child, and I will not allow anything to come your way that will destroy you. The only thing God will send your way, whatever it looks like, the pain that it brings, the sorrow, the anguish, the disappointment, the depression it may want to bring upon you, remember, he will only send what or allow something to come your way, that which will cause you to actually go through. You will endure. You will endure. Tell your neighbor, you will endure. I didn't hear that. You will endure. This is, whenever it comes to you, God's intention is to build you up, to refine you. Because we'll see, as I go through the observations, that actually God's focus is greater. That once you get to agree with him as he takes you into his realm, you will begin to say, well, storm, no matter, you can come because you have seen the end result. You have seen what's coming, what's ahead, and everything pales to this value of what is coming. But when you and I are going through, I don't want to belittle what you're going through, how painful, How depressing. And you know, the duration, when you come to duration, really, there are some that have been going through this thing for years, and you don't know when it will ever go. God has counted you worthy to go through that. Not that you should love it and embrace it, or keep praying it away. Keep just speaking the word of God over it, that it will go away from your life. Let it go. This will be your cry. But as it sticks around you for years, it's just not good. It's not great. No one loves to go through something forever. You want it to stop. Well, there are others that go through something just for a few days, it's gone. But even when you're going through a short thing, it is still quite a thing. It's a storm all the same. Some say, oh, but they just said a word to you. Why did you get all waked up? No, it was a storm. To this person, it was a storm. So regardless of the duration, it's a storm. And you can bear up under it. You can endure. You can go over that. So let the Lord help you as we go through these observations, that you may understand God means well. And as you see, one word keeps coming back in all these that we will go through the observations. And one word is faith. And, you know, you look at a few scriptures as we go, we will look at that, and you see why this is coming up over and over again. I know that even as things come our way, we also go through good things, but you can agree with me. Going through good things, it's easy. It's manageable. Sometimes you don't want to talk much about it because I'm enjoying it, you know, and it's excellent. So, but it's the hard ones, the bad, the negative, the things that want just to eat you up. Those are the things that are not easy to manage, and Scripture will help us today. The first observation is that from the mouth of Jesus himself, you can actually deduce that victory is a done deal. It's something that you don't have to wait for it to be done. Jesus says, I have done this. And because I have done this and I live in the inside of you, you can do it. Because my victory is upon you. That's one kind of observation that you begin to see. Let's look together at John 16, verse 33. I think it might just coming up there. The Bible says, this is a New Living Translation, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Remember, if you want to have peace, it has to be in Christ. You know? And here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. I want you to note that he is saying, I have overcome. Remember, he hasn't gone to the cross yet. He hasn't yet been on the cross. And so it just woke me up. I said, why is he saying, I have overcome, when he hasn't gone to the cross yet? And the thing I could see there is that great assurance of victory. Because here is the Son of God who was, as the Bible says, he was slain before the foundation of the world. This God planned it before the foundation of the world, that we, you and I, will be saved. And when God plans and executes, he's not like you and I, that we have to plan in such a way that we're not even sure. We cannot guarantee that our planning will come to pass. Why? Because we are limited. Because we don't have the capacity. But when God, who is not like man, plans, he is sure it's going to happen. He is... is it my... I hope that's not the anointing. When God plans, remember, when God plans, it's going to happen. So when Jesus comes on this earth, there is one thing you begin to see, that which God planned was going to happen is when he is challenging the Pharisees and everyone else, who among you accuse me of sin? That is already victory. That living a righteous and holy life is already overcoming. There is no one who could point any wrong on Jesus. Why? Because that plan to save us needed a perfect sacrifice. If one of us was to be sacrificed, it wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have had to make everybody get saved, because we would not have been without blemish, without wrinkle. But that sacrifice needed someone perfect. So when he walked this earth, he trod on the ground we are treading on. He never sinned. Not once. Not even one sin. He went through victorious. And when it culminates into the cross, forever, he changes not. 23:19, I think let's read it. It's important. That one is 20. Very important. Still 13 or 19? This is NIV. God is not human that he should lie. There's nothing like that in him. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Exactly, that's what he does. Whatever he plans, he executes. Exactly. When he created the earth, he said those words, "Behold, it was good." Every time. Not that he was surprised, it was good. He was just confirming that his plan is exactly the way he had done it. And it's executed correctly. So when you pass through anything, and if you are still, you're passing through something right now, know that whatever he has planned is going to pass. And his plan for you is for welfare, not for evil. He's not bringing evil on you to destroy you, but to give you a future, to give you an expected end, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. So he knows the plans he has for you. He cannot allow any storm come your way to wipe you off. His intention is to give you an abundant life, whether you pass through that storm or not. There is a perfect reason God will even allow anything like that to come your way. There is a God reason. There is a divine reason we'll see in these observations that I'm making. With you. The word translated trouble or trials and sorrows in the original language conveys a picture of something being crushed, pressed, or squeezed by heavy weight. So when he says you face trouble or you have trials and sorrows, it's like something heavy is coming upon you. And you and I have reacted to that. We have felt the pain. We have felt the loneliness at times. We have felt the disappointment. We have felt that despair. What will happen from now on? I don't know. And we have cried out. And sometimes I've also said it before. Why me? And of course, somebody says God responds by saying, "Why not you?" You know, through that storm. And we have gone through all kinds of storms. You can testify. I can testify. We have all gone through something that shook us to the core. But God has a word for us. He has a word that you can do this. It's the victory is already there. You're not starting from a defeat to victory. You're actually starting from victory going to victory. That is a tremendous privilege to start from victory to victory. This is what Christ has done. There is a very reassuring word under that observation that victory is a done deal. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, in NIV, in the NLT, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let me get to that one. So the Bible says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He went through. But this fixing of our eyes on Jesus, it has something to do more than just putting our eyes on him. There is a sense in which this portion of Scripture is drawing us to realize that we need that faith that can see that which God has done and that we can hang on to it or cling to it. That's why it says, once we fix our eyes on him, he qualifies because he's the pioneer and perfecter of faith. We'll look at that word faith as we go down the observations. So he is the one who actually initiates, the one who perfects it. It is good to hang on to Jesus, because in the end, we can solidly and strongly say, I can do this. I can endure. I can go through. Observation number two. That when you look at this victory, facing these things we are going through, observation number two is that you can actually be encouraged when you look at this crowd of witnesses in Hebrews 11. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you can go through that chapter. It's like the hall of faith. This is where these men and women are showing to us that it can be done in him. We can scale whatever war comes up to us. Any storm, we can smile at it. They are saying, I think let's name them as our cheerleaders. They are busy cheering us on by their example. They went through. And if you, as you read Hebrews 11, you see just all kinds of storms were coming upon them. You remember Daniel in the den of lions. You remember Noah making an ark on dry ground, and he was mocked and ridiculed until that ark was done, and he was proved right in the end. But the kind of mockery, the kind of ridicule, and I don't know what words were being said to him. He was really, you know, pelted with those kinds of words, and I'm sure some were doing all kinds of drama around him as he did the ark. But his faith knew that what the Lord had already said, it's going to come, it's going to pass. And he hang on to the very end, and for sure in the end, Noah was right, because God had said so. You can talk about Job. I mean, you are familiar with Job. That he lost everything, his children, his wealth. And in principle, he lost his wife, because she came and said, she didn't say, oh, hang on, my husband, your God is coming through for you. No, she said, you know what, give him up. Curse God and die. And David suffered out in the hands of King Saul in so many ways, and many of the Psalms have come out of that kind of episode in terms of trial and tests. Abraham is another, and in the end, he was said to be righteous because of his faith. Talk about our Lord Jesus himself is another example that he went through all kinds of things under the hands of sinners in order to save them and save us. Look at Paul. One time he was shipwrecked, and he could not, He had that such faith that he told everybody else, you're not going to die because I must stand before Caesar in Rome. He knew that if God had said you're going to stand, this shipwreck was not going to take his life. It was quite a storm, and they despaired for life. But Paul had cast his eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of his faith, and he knew if the Lord, since the Lord has spoken, I am going to stand. And so he said to everybody, you're not going to die. We're all going to live. Stephen is being stoned, and he's just also praying the same prayer that the Lord said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, in the book of Acts. Peter, I mean, you know how his end came. He was hanged upside down and burnt on that stake. There are many that you can go through this hall of faith in Hebrews 11. They went through all kinds. Some were sawn into two, as the Bible says. Some were, you know, things came on. Their heads were like John the Baptist. His head was cut off and put on a platter for Herod's wife, who asked for it. And you ask why you sent a prophet in the name of John and you let him be beheaded. But to God, there was something else beyond what we could read or see, but it wasn't a pleasant thing. It was really tough to go through that kind of thing. It was terrible to see what was being done to some. But these are the cheerleaders for you and I. They are cheering us on. You are about to just break through. Hang on. The finish line is almost there. You can do this. You can do it. We were just like you, and we made it because he made us make it. You are going to make it. If you're in the storm right now, let these cheerleaders in Hebrews 11 help you out, that you're not, the intention of God is not to destroy you. He is going to lift you up. Your dawn is coming. Your morning is about to break out. Your sunshine is almost coming. Do not give up. Do not let anything deceive you so that you let go. No, I know that the storm almost, you know, makes you want to let go. That's what the flesh, it can't endure, doesn't want to wait. The flesh wants the victory right now, right away. But you see, your God is saying, hang in there. Something is happening. Something is working for you, and he will see you through. So these crowd of witnesses, they are singing that song of continue. You are about to have the victory. Amen. They are saying continue. And they are there cheering. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 1 that these guys are busy cheering us. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. I'm reading from NIV. I know that the NLT says crowd instead of cloud. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In other words, throw away the weights and just go for it. Go for the finish line. At the end of it, there is a crown. At the end of it, there is a prize. And God is waiting to put it on your head. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that these guys went through this not because they were powerful in anything, but because they had faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God enabled that kind of faith in them, is enabling the same kind of faith in us, in you. And Jesus qualified that you don't have to have a big, giant faith in order to move mountains. Your faith, even though it may be as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Faith is not the quantity, it's the quality. So you have to go for the quality. And this is why this message is helping me, and I hope it will help you, that if once my faith is refined, I know that my endurance will be perfected. And at the end of it, as we look at one scripture, I will be mature, I will stand strong, and I will lack nothing. So there is a good part of this thing when we go through trials, temptation, tests, and so on. There is an end result that is good for us, and I will see that. The third observation, as these cheerleaders are cheering us on, there is a question that you ask yourself, what is it that made them, you know, look at whatever they were going through, they did not so much bother about the pain and the sorrow, the anguish, the pressure, how hard their moments were. They did not bother about that. What is it that was driving them on? I know faith was there, but faith allowed them to see and behold something. And this is where my third observation comes in. They were able to see the prize. And when the Bible simply puts in these words, share in his holiness, it looks so plain, simple, and straightforward. But this is why Jesus had to come and die for me, die for you, that we may share, partake in the life of God. If God says you're going to share my life, we do not yet see how that is far more worthy than anything else we could ever acquire here on earth. This is the thing. This is the prize. That someone like me who had no reason to be loved by God, God came for me. He could scale the mountains to come after me. That is reckless love. It's reckless love that says, Henry, you can share my life. You can share my nature. You can live in my nature. You can flow in my flow. You can be with me forever. This is reckless love. I don't deserve it, as we were singing. And you know, it is something that these witnesses, they clung on to. They knew that there was nothing worthy, more worthy than. There was nothing. This is it. Share in his holiness. God's perspective is that he uses whatever comes upon us to bless us because he has this thing in mind. This includes even the worst of the devil. God's desire is that we may be part of the fellowship in his holiness. And this is what, using the words of the writer of Hebrews concerning discipline in the body of Christ, he says the following in Hebrews 12, verse 10. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. If you try to search and dig out this phrase, you will see that this is the center of why Jesus came for you, came for me. Amen. He came to set us free so that in the end we will share the life of God. We will live with him forever. This is what salvation has brought for us. We are beginning right on this earth, and it will culminate into the next life, where we shall be with our God forever and ever, so that we share in his holiness. Make every effort, Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Again, the scripture is, you know, defining. I know that you and I like to dwell more on moral purity, but God goes beyond moral purity. He's saying this being set apart, being uniquely God's treasured possession. This is holiness, where you are singled out, you are separated from the rest of the world, You are God's own treasured possession. This is precious. And we shall share in that uniqueness that God has, his very life and his very nature. Therefore, our trials and tests are an opportunity to build a holy and righteous character through obedience so that we share in that fellowship of God's holiness. This is why one reason they come and they will keep coming. God is refining his servants by teaching them his way of life, because this is the same life that we are going to live with our God in eternity. He begins it right here on earth, and he is refining us so that as we are going on, we are becoming more and more like him, because we are going to live with him forever. Observation number 4. Faith refined, endurance perfected. And I want us to read James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 in a New Living Translation. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Why? Because you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Why is this so critical? One, because the storms are not going to stop. They will keep coming. And if I have set my sights on the holiness and the life of God to be shared, I definitely need this so that I can scale through whatever comes my way. It will not deprive me of the prize. I want to get that. And whatever else the enemy wants to do, he will not succeed, because my God says, "I am with you, and I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So I will hang on. And I urge you, my brother, my sister, hang on. The God who is Lord of the storm is right in your storm. He is there ensuring that you go through and you endure that. And at the end, you'll be as refined as silver. You'll be shining bright in him, because you have stood the test of the trial. So these things will come because he is refining. His intent is for you, for your good. And he has a plan, and he is executing it as you go through one and one after another of all kinds of trouble and storms that may come your way. Now, this is what happens with faith. Faith, once it's refined, it's like, I will just give you a picture. Faith takes you into the realm where God is operating. This is what faith, that's why the Bible says we our walk in Christ is not by sight, it's by faith. It's faith that takes us into the realm of God. We do not just enter the realm, but we also see who God is in reality. And then we observe in that realm as well that the things God has said, which human eyes cannot see and which the human mind cannot perceive, we are able to do that. And once we see that in the realm of God, this is what faith does, it makes us realize that everything God is doing, his will and his purposes that he is fulfilling, you begin immediately to agree with him that there is nothing better than what God is doing. Because if there is anything, my will, my purposes, they will look like garbage compared to the will and purpose of God. I will not perceive that unless the eyes of faith open up to the realm of God. Then I will be able to behold and to know. So the more the Lord is drawing you in that faith, what's happening is that he is making it strong, He's making it genuine. It's becoming the real faith. There are times when I use assumption and I think I'm using faith. That is not what God is brought to my heart. But you see, that faith that he's doing, he's making it strong. He's refining it. He's purifying. He's perfecting it. Because then I will be able to behold God the way he really is. And in that realm, I will agree with him. I'll say, yes, Lord, your faith is the best thing that should ever happen. Go ahead. And I think you and I have realized with our doctors that when they prescribe some injections, of course, when we were young, it was more painful. Now that we are old, we turn our eyes away when they're injecting this side. You turn your face this way, but you don't have to cry like we used to cry when we were young or small. But that injection has the end product to give you good health. So when they prescribe, you nevertheless went to the doctor so that they can inject some medication into your body. And they do other things. The dentists do the same. They say, okay, we got to take off the big back tooth there. The molar needs to go out. And you know, that's not the easiest tooth to come out, the back teeth. They are very painful. And I hear here, I think where as you're young, they take them out early because they just took out mine not long ago. My goodness, did I think my jaw was going to break? He pulled it and whoo. It's painful. But you see, that moment you're going through looks like, whoo, this is the most unpleasant thing. Whoa. But at the end of it, I can smile now because it's gone. I don't have the pain that it brought. These storms, they're doing almost like that. They bring pain, they bring sorrow. But one thing we need to know, what is God's perspective? What is he saying? What is he bringing out to me? He is saying, once your faith is perfected, you are assured that endurance will be good. And then in the end, you will share in my holiness. God has eternity in mind. This is a temporary place. This is just a holding tank for our next part of the journey. We are passing through. And God knows that. And he has planned it all out. That while you're here, he will perfect you for himself. For he is your God and you are. And God is your Father. He's perfecting you for the life to come. He's starting right here and going on into the next life. So faith has to be refined. Now, endurance is in one way defined as abiding under a situation patiently and courageously. And when you look at the blacksmith, when he works his metal and shapes it into a piece of art to be celebrated, the metal doesn't, you can imagine you are the metal that is being worked. There's a big hammer he uses. There's fire, you know. And that metal has to be made malleable, if I'm saying it right, soft. And then the blacksmith, you know, gives these blows that shape the metal. In the end, for him, the sword comes out the way he wanted it. But it has to go through this process. Even a refinery is the same process. There's a heat involved, temperatures that are not normal. They are beyond. And in the end, as the end of product, it's this fine art or this piece of metal that comes out because the blacksmith has worked it out. Now, our lives go through the same. We are like in that kind of under the blacksmith. God is allowing things to come so that he can work us. He can work us into a perfect piece of art, his own art that he has performed. So It's good to hang on. Listen to this great evangelist of the 19th century, George Muller. He has a quote here. He's saying, to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith by standing firm amidst severe testings. Again, I'll read that one. To learn strong faith is to endure great trials. I've learned my faith by standing firm amid severe testings. And another man of God, you know, John Wesley, 18th century, the readiest way to escape from my sufferings is to be willing they should endure as long as God pleases. And he's saying, it's like, as long as it is God who is in it and is pleasing, let the storms come. I'm not saying go pray like that. No, please don't. Let it just come on its own. So faith needs to be refined. Once it's refined, endurance will be assured and we can stand the storm. Observation number 5. Christ is in your boat. Christ is right in the thick of things. He is not resting somewhere outside what you're going through. Christ is right there with you. This is one thing the Lord just brought to my heart not very long ago, that you see, whenever you face these things and you're passing through them, I am right there and I am working the good for you through the thing. So he is busy working the very things that will bless your heart and bless your life. Remember, his intent is not to destroy you, but to give you hope, to give you a future, to bless you with the good that he has planned for you. When the Lord was with the disciples in Mark 4, you will read of them being swamped by the storm on that lake. And Jesus was nicely and soundly, peacefully sleeping at the back of the boat. And they went to him, Master, don't you care? We are drowning. And the Lord wakes up, he rebukes the wind, and he says, well, where's your faith? But you see, Jesus, even today, he is in my boat. He is in your boat. He is the one to rebuke the wind. He's the one to rebuke the storm. Who is Lord of the storm? It's Jesus Christ. He's right in your storm and he's going to do that. If you're going through one storm right now, remember Jesus is in it with you. He is not gone on vacation so that you can go through it and then he comes and just check marks that you passed the storm. No, he makes it work out for you in every way possible. Because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And again he says in another portion of scripture, I'll be with you till the close of the age. Of course, sometimes we get so confused as to what is happening because all hell breaks loose on us and nothing seems to be working. Everything is just breaking down. Everything is not looking up at all. Things are getting worse by the day. And you feel, well, I'm losing it because I don't know what to do. This is too much for me. My brother, my sister, hang in there. Your God is actively at work. Whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, he is actively working the good for you. As you endure, as you face your storm, God reveals himself. I think it just needs a time to say, what is God doing? What is God doing? And it's like open your eyes and you will begin to see what he is doing. Psalm 66, verse 8 to 12, it's up there. You can have a look at it. But let me just bring this to a conclusion by saying, how do we ensure that we are always encountering, acknowledging, identifying that God is with me in my moments, in my storm. And as I've been trying to just show you the scriptures and why the need to stand strong, we should strive to ensure we encounter God as we go through whatever comes our way. Number one, as you see it on the screen, always remember that Jesus Christ has won the victory. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. In other words, be brave. The victory is yours, because I have overcome. Number two, always remember that the one in you is greater than the one in the world. Those that are with you, as you read in 2 Kings 6:16, those that are with you are more than those that are against you. In other words, the one that gather with you, in terms of the Almighty God, are more than the ones that are out there, in terms of the devil. Nothing shall separate you from his love. Always have it in your mind, those that are with you are more than those that are against you. Number three, the last one. Set your sights on the prize that you will share in God's holiness. You will share in God's holiness. There is no greater blessing than that. Therefore, let God lead you to a place in faith that you'll be able to smile at the storm. You can face it, and you can face it solid. You can face it strong. Amen.